What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Kenelia, back with another episode of Black News, a podcast where we break down current events, hot topics, and local stories involving Black people. Now let's get into it. The first annual Usher Bowl was this past weekend, Super Bowl weekend, whatever number it is, I don't know, but I do know that Usher the Raymond, okay, King Usher the Raymond performed his Super Bowl halftime show this past weekend, and I had me a good old time. So, in case you just don't watch TV, like even if you don't watch the Super Bowl, I feel like people just watch the Super Bowl. It's one of those times of years or that those events where people use it as an opportunity to get together with family or friends or eat good or bad food, whatever your heart desires, gather around the TV and watch some sporting event, some championship, a game. This year, the Kansas City Chiefs defeated the San Francisco 49ers. Y'all know how I feel about football. But I was rooting for Patrick Mahomes because in the hierarchy of who you rooting for in sports, it only made sense, right? You got to root for your favorite player's team. If you don't have no favorite player, your favorite team. If your favorite team ain't in there, then you got to root for the team with the black quarterback, okay? Patrick Mahomes, that's Patrick Mahomes' senior son. And y'all know his daddy. We've seen his daddy. Okay, Pat Mahomes is black. So that was a qualifying event to make me say, okay, maybe I got to root for the Kansas City Chiefs. But if there were no black quarterback, you got to root for the team with the black coach. Okay. If then there was no black coach, you got to root for the team in the black city. If there was no team in a black city, then you just watch the game. Maybe it's a fine player on the team or something. Then you just got to do what you got to do. Also, though, I feel like the 49ers may be cursed until they do right by Colin Kaepernick. But that's just me, though. Anywho. Super Bowl halftime performance. We heard months ago that Usher was picked to take the lead. He was going to be the performer set for this year's Super Bowl. Previous Super Bowls, last year there was Rihanna. The year before that, I don't remember who was the year before that exactly, but I'm going to name who has performed. We know Beyonce has performed multiple times. She did her solo. She also did the performance with Bruno Mars and Coldplay. I believe it was Coldplay. There was a Dr. Dre West Coast performance. Oh, I believe that was the one before Rihanna, right? You had Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, 50 Cent, Kendrick Lamar. Fantastic time. Some point we had Lady Gaga. We also had Bruno Mars doing a solo performance, if I'm not mistaken. We had Madonna one year with CeeLo, old school performances. Still one of my faves, Michael Jackson, which was the very first Super Bowl halftime performance. We had Prince. Can't forget about that. He came out with a do-rag on. Started raining when he was singing Purple Rain. All in all, I think all of them have been fantastic in their own way. And I'm not one of those people to rank them because to me, they're totally different. They are totally different. But this one with Usher was fantastic. It was R&B music. If you are a fan of R&B music and if you are a part of black culture, this Super Bowl halftime performance probably, I'm willing to bet, it holds a very special place in your heart because there were so many moments of both of those. So to recap, some of the surprise guests: Alicia Keys, her was killing that guitar. Okay, like, girl, she be jamming. Her, Will.i.am, which I thought was Kanye West. I saw this on social media, but people also thought this too. I was like, oh shoot, Kanye rapping on stage. I literally, Will.i.am had a helmet on, and they had the outfit on, the one of them Kanye too big leather outfits. I thought it was Kanye. It wasn't. It was Will.i.am. Also had an appearance by Ludacris and Lil Jon. Jermaine Dupri appeared and people was going in on his outfit. It was a bold choice. But Usher has so many songs, so many hits. He literally performed each song for like 17 seconds each. I'm talking about back to back to back to back, nonstop R&B and hip hop music. There were multiple tributes within that, and he didn't outright be like, yo, I'm tributing so and so. But things that I noticed, he had a white glove on, single white rhinestone glove a la Michael Jackson. He had on one of the white Marvin Gaye style fits, even hit one of the Marvin Gaye hip twirls in the moment. It was giving Marvin. Also, I felt some Teddy Pendergrass up in there. Okay. I felt some Teddy with the hip and the shirt off. Cause y'all know Teddy used to have a shirt. Teddy used to be kissing women in the mouth at the show. Y'all be talking about Usher and how he be dancing with women. Teddy Pendergrass used to be kissing women in the mouth at the shows. This R&B baby, you don't get more R&B that shirt off, kissing in the mouth. This is R&B, baby. This is rhythm and blues. He also had elements of black culture that were just chef's kiss. He had the Kappas on stage. Okay, y'all know the Kappas. The noobs gonna be so insufferable now. Y'all, as soon as the Kappas was like, oh shoot, the Kappas, here they go, Lord. But I ain't gonna even hold you, because if the Deltas was on stage, I would have been like, you see, we the best. Okay, so I understand it. Usher had strippers. Y'all know he had to bring them stripper poles out. Okay. He from Atlanta. Atlanta culture is strip club culture. Roller skating. He had a whole roller skating rink on there. He had the Jackson State marching band. You don't get no blacker than this. And he was doing all of this while singing. So people were kind of shocked or confused about the fact that the songs didn't sound exactly like the radio version, the CD, the album, the vinyl, whatever we calling it now, that version. And I think it got to the point where people forgot that performers are supposed to sing live and dance and do all of these things. Usher is a 45-year-old man singing live and dancing. Some people can't carry their groceries up to the stairs without being out of breath. Okay, some people can't carry the groceries without about to be passing out. So that brother was doing his thing. Again, I loved it. I'm a fan of R&B. I'm a fan of blackness and the culture and in moments. So of course I was gonna like it. But some people didn't. Some people did not. There were some people like, this sucks. And I saw some articles saying Usher's so fizzled. Like, it was just very interesting. So I will say a couple things. One, I would appreciate it if you had people within the culture of the performer or in the performance review that performance. If you aren't a part of black culture, it is going to be very difficult for you to review something that is a part of the culture, because you just don't understand it. You probably don't know what you're talking about. You don't have no reference point. Your database empty. Also, if you are not a fan of R&B, you probably did not have a good time. If you're not a fan of black people, you probably didn't have a good time. I know it'd be hard for somebody seeing all them black people down there singing and dancing and having a good time. It'd be hard. Some people would be struggling with that. Okay. But I would like people to really be honest why they didn't necessarily like it, if that is the case for them. Luckily, I didn't personally interact with people on that side. I have heard some adjacent conversation about it. Like, oh, I heard somebody, so-and-so said they didn't like it. And then I have asked them, what do they like? Did they like the Lady Gaga ones? Did you like the when Coldplay was with Beyonce and not Beyonce and Bruno? Tell me what you like, and I'm gonna tell you why you did not like this one, because it ain't hard to decipher. But overall, I had me a good old time. Usher is going on tour. I have been in line and trying to figure out tickets to this tour situation for a couple of days now, because I'm going to go to the show. Y'all know I went to on the Black Pilgrimage to Las Vegas to see King Usher the Raymond sometime in 2023. Fantastic time. I listened to the album. It was some good songs on there. It wasn't what I expected. But overall, I'm doing my part with supporting. What about you? What did you think of the Super Bowl halftime performance? What did you think of Usher overall? Was it what you expected? Did you think he was going to do as many songs? Because I didn't think he was going to do that many songs. I was shocked. But overall, I would rate it 2 thumbs up. Let me know your thoughts, though. Hit me up and let me know what you thought about the Super Bowl halftime performance by Usher the Raymond. You can find me on social media at Kenelia. So like you, I was sitting on my couch watching TV, scrolling on social media after the Super Bowl halftime show. You know, just chilling out, seeing what people was talking about to probably make me a little dinner. You know, the usual for Sunday night. When the Beyonce Verizon commercial comes on. So, you know, Beyonce don't really be doing commercials like that. Old Beyonce, yes. She would find herself in her a Pepsi commercial. Something, girl. Okay, sis was going to be getting them commercial coins. But as of lately, no, you don't expect to see Beyonce doing any promotional material that way, especially for a brand. But word got out on the street that Beyonce was shooting a Verizon commercial. So everybody was like, oh, shoot, is she going to announce her residency at the Vegas Sphere? That's what everybody was kind of insinuating, because they heard that the Sphere was going to be featured. That's that new arena that looked like a bubble with the LED lights all around it. So when the Beyonce Verizon commercial came on, which was actually really cute. Now, this may not be the narrative, but I actually enjoy when Beyonce acts. And I ain't saying that just because I am a Beyonce fan. I be having a good time watching her in movies. Beyonce is funny. She is personable. When people allow her to just not have to live up to that mystique of Beyonce and just let her be creative and express herself, she be doing a good job. I don't care what y'all say. Go watch Dreamgirls again. She killed that Dina role. She played that Dina role to a T. So I had when I saw the Verizon commercial, I was like, you know, she did good. That was cute. But in the Verizon commercial, towards the end, she said something to the effect of drop the music or release the new music. I don't have the exact words, but as soon as she said that, people, including myself, I am people, was like, the hook? The music? Huh? What music? What? I go to Beyonce social media. Child, she done got the cowboy fit on with the bolo necklace. The Beyonce website got Act 2 coming March 29th. Y'all, I literally panicked. Before I saw the Act 2 coming March 29th, I started hitting my friends up like, the new music is here. It's here. It's here. Yelling. Couldn't find it. It was supposed to be released all at once. I couldn't find it nowhere. Tidal had it. I ain't got no Tidal account. The songs was popping up one by one on iTunes, Spotify, and so on. The two new songs released are called Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages, along with another promotional video which leads us to believe that Act Two will be a country album. Head exploding, y'all. So before I talk about this, Texas Hold'em is more of like a dance, a country, like one of them honky tonk type of line dance songs. And 16 Carriages is a ballad. Out of the two, they both are good tracks. Out of the two, 16 Carriages, y'all, it got a hold on me. It's a beautiful song. The arrangement, the vocals, you got the violins and the banjo in the back. I mean, she already starting with that, because even on Texas Hold'em, she got the black lady banjo player. I forget her name, honey. She made sure to get that black lady banjo player on the song so people can start doing their own research, because that particular artist is an educator and goes around the world teaching people how the banjo is actually a black instrument. With that in mind, we all know that country is a genre initiated, originated, and is rooted in blackness and the black American experience. Now, however you want to divvy up the family tree of music, whether you want to say country came from folk or folk came from this, or the blues came from country, or country came from the blues and blah, 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 spiritual quartets and all of this, we know that the majority, if not all, forms of modern American music have roots within blackness. That is a fact. That research has been done. People have already done the work. There could be genres that we really don't know about that may not, but for the most part, them big genres, country, rock, pop, R&B, blackness. So to me, looking at what Beyonce is doing right now, while I was surprised to hear that it's country, I'm not surprised. Why? Beyonce from Texas. And I've been saying this recently, especially as more black people in country have been popping up and getting shine. People forget that black people in the South or in the Midwest or in these rural, and I'm doing air quotes, rural areas, black people live there too. They be wearing cowboy boots. The original cowboys were black men. We have the same or similar country experiences. So this idea that black people couldn't relate to country or couldn't be within the genre literally does not make sense. Because if we even be stereotypical and think that country is Southern music, the majority of the black American population lives in the American South. That is, we know this. But also, this, I feel like, is going to give everyone a front row seat in regards to media, in regards to how we think about music and how we think about black artists. Why do I say that? Because one, the media, there are already articles out saying that this is a country inspired or country themed album or songs. No, it's country. It's country. We need to watch and be mindful of people changing language just because of the person giving us the art. If somebody put out a song that is not in the genre that you think they belong in, that doesn't mean that that song isn't in that genre. I present to you Machine Gun Kelly. Because he was out here rapping, all of a sudden he a rock boy. Y'all don't be calling his rock music rap. It be in the rock category. So we're going to see how people do that. The same way, as soon as it was uploaded to the music platforms, they labeled it pop. They then switched to country because I guess people was complaining. So we're going to see that. What we're also going to see, again, and I just, you know, segueing into what I just said about particular artists switching genres, how people receive music And do they label it based on who is giving it to us? Because if a country album comes out, does the genre that it is in get dictated just by the person or by the music? We're going to see how people react to it. We're going to see it in real time. We're also going to see more shine on other Black country artists, because Beyonce does a good job of giving us educational moments within music. Because I will put money on the fact that if this is a country album, there's going to be old country songs by old Black country singers featured on it, or some current songwriters that are within the genre. Even on the promo video, when she was in the pickup truck or the taxi cab, the songs playing on the radio before Texas Hold'em came on were songs by Black country artists. Very intentional. But this also, what it's going to do, it's going to piss people off. And I'm here for it. Because guess what? Now, the CMAs, Grand Ole Opry, there are certain platforms that historically have given shine to up and coming or the most popular country albums or songs. So is there going to be any difference this time around? This is literally going to give us a real time case study about navigating media issues, language, and perception, and especially Black people and the art that we present to the world and how people choose to receive it. I can't wait. It's also, y'all, I said this on my social media. If you saw my social media, you probably saw this. But y'all, we're going to be out here dressing like Woody from Toy Story. She going to have us out here with it. I literally Googled women's chaps. I don't be wearing no dang chaps. I don't go anywhere where I wear that. I'm probably now going to buy cowboy boots. I ain't going to get no cowboy hat because it don't really look good with the natural that I got right now. I'm in that growing out phase. And the length don't really look good with the cowboy hat. If you give me a year, I'm going to probably be there. But right now, I ain't going to get the hat. But y'all, I'm going to get me a cowboy fit. And I'm going to wear it to the next tour. If this is a country album. People are also spreading rumors saying that Act 3 is going to be a rock album because they are insinuating that Beyonce is on a quest to reclaim Black genres that slipped through our fingertips. I'll say that. First, she started with dance because we know the history of dance in the dance genre with Black people. Now it's country. People are saying rock because, as y'all know, Black people started rock and roll. Also, watch the Little Richard documentary that's on HBO Max. Really good. Really fantastic. But overall, what do y'all think? And are y'all as excited as I am? Okay. I can't wait for the new music. I won't necessarily say I'm a country fan. I appreciate some good country songs. But the two that I heard so far, I really enjoyed them. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Beyonce fan. If I didn't like it, I just wouldn't talk about it. I wouldn't talk about the songs. I would just be quiet and move on to the next subject. So, excited. Are you? What are you looking forward to most? What are your predictions about Act 2 and what's to come on March 29th? Hit me up and let me know your thoughts. You can find me at Kanelia on social media. Now, I would not be a good stand-up comedian if I did not address the fact that another Club Shay Shay interview went viral this past week. This time it was featuring Monique. Now, full disclosure, I did not have time to watch the full interview. Now, I can only do one that it was long. It was over 2 hours long. But then also, some content gives me anxiety. Like, for example, not to say this is exactly the same, but just to give you some context, I can't even watch The Real Housewives, any of the franchises. I've probably seen 3 full episodes of The Real Housewives. I can tell you what's going on is from what I see on social media, but I can't watch because drama and fighting and like beef and catting, it gives me anxiety. It's part of my trauma and I know my limits. I cannot I can't do that. I can't do like fighting or like going back and forth. I just say I'm not able to handle it. So I could only watch the, not to say that Monique was doing that, but I could only watch it in pieces. So I'm going to get through it. But at this point, I'm only about halfway through. So it's pretty obvious, and I said this after the Cat Williams interview, that there is a certain class of comedians that are publicly what would look like beefing. Now, when I say class, I mean, when it comes to stand-up comedy, I don't know if the old heads call it this, but for my generation, we call comedy classes, we categorize classes kind of like you would do in high school, like sophomore, junior, senior. Classes are the group of comedians that you came in with. You don't necessarily have to come in with them on the same year, but it's around that same time frame. So, for example, my comedy class, I would consider me, Zainab, Keisha E., Keenan Baker, Keon Poli, like that group, right? That is a comedy class. Technically, even though he wasn't an LA comic, I may even consider, no, Kev on Stage is not my class, but y'all get it. That's my comedy class. The comedy class right before me was, I would say, Kev, Nate Jackson, Tony Baker, BT Kingsley, Clayton Thomas, Takara Williams, Kenesha Buss. That is the class before me. The class before them, I would say, would be the Dion Coles, the Leslie Joneses, the Hannibal Burrises, the Roy Wood Jr., that group. Those are classes, the pack of people that you came up with. So in this case, the comedy class of the, whether they beefing or not, I'm just going to put who all in the same class. You got Dave Chappelle, Earthquake, Monique, Cat Williams, Mike Epps, D.L. Hughley, Steve Harvey, all the kings of comedy said they all in the same class. They may break their classes up even further because they know in real time when people came and when they was kicking it in clubs together and when they was ashy, went from ashy to classy. Okay. But that class is publicly beefing. And I say publicly because I said this before, I'm going to say it again. Every class got beef. It may not be as drastic. Some may be petty, but you got comics within each class that's mad at somebody. Somebody done did somebody wrong. Somebody done said something. Somebody thinks somebody ain't funny. Somebody stealing jokes. It happens all across the board. I just don't personally think my comedy class and the classes around mine have gotten to the point where they are ready to publicly beef. And I'll add Chris Spencer and David Arnold into that other class, Bill Burr as well, to the old school, old head class, even though some of them ain't really old, but you get it. So, but in regards to my class, even though we ain't got to that point, I do think it's going to get to that point as we get older, because what I have learned as I've aged and been in Hollywood and watched this business, some people get mad when you get too rich. Some people get mad when you get too famous, and some people get mad when they think they funnier or think they're more talented than you, and they watch somebody around them get what they thought they should have had. Even though they won't verbalize that, they find a reason to not like you, and then it becomes hate or beef. Now, I don't think that's what's happening with Monique, Cat Williams, Earthquake, DL. I don't think that's that. But I do think we are in an era where some people just want to get pop they ish off. Some people just want to pop that ish, right? We have some people who feel like they need to do that, which is justified. Some people handle the idea or the concept of the feeling of being wronged a certain way. We also have some comedians within those classes and classes underneath that don't like what's happening and feel like people shouldn't air out our dirty laundry. I've even heard some people going out towards the fact to say other people are laughing at us. Other groups are laughing at us. You don't see white comics doing this X, Y, and Z. And honestly, I don't assume or I don't necessarily subscribe to that idea that other races are laughing at us. Honestly, people, they don't be paying attention to us. I was talking to one of my friends and we were talking about some things that black people, we just know. He didn't know none of that was going on. And these were some of the most viral moments within black culture at this time. He had no clue we as a community was even discussing this. They don't be on us like that. Now, if we talking about taking of power and people feeling like they about to be the minority, that's a whole nother conversation. But I don't subscribe to the idea that other people laughing at us, they don't think about it. And they got their own beef. Because at one point, I believe people beefing with Dane Cook. People be mad at Joe Rogan. Beef is beef. Everybody got it. We just more vocal. Black people were peacocks. Okay, we're going to spread our feathers and we're going to do what we're going to do. But I will say, from the points that I have seen so far and some of the clips that went viral, these are not things that we have not heard Monique say at some point. We have known about these grievances and about these issues and some of the things that have happened. We've also heard from some of the other people that she was talking about at other points to kind of defend themselves or to offer some, I won't even call it retaliation, rebuttal. They were offering some rebuttal. Whether you believe her or believe them or not, I feel like people was kind of shocked, like, oh, she said this. She been saying that. But I want us to learn how, and I'm not on nobody's side because I don't know personally anybody that she was naming. Okay, I don't know none of them. But I do see what's happening is people hear someone saying something about somebody else and they automatically take that and run with it and be like, yeah, I knew she wasn't shit. You actually don't know that because you have never interacted with that person. You just taking one person's word for it. Not to say anything that she said was wrong, because I believe she has experienced everything that she was saying. But I want us as individuals to find a way to form our own opinions about people without just taking someone's word for it. It's kind of like when you was in high school and you had a homegirl that was like, we don't like her because she be doing this and she be doing this. You don't fool with her. And then later, years later, you meet the girl and she was actually just cool as hell. It's kind of like that. Not to say again that her feelings or her experiences are invalid. I just see some of us not using critical thinking and just being able to be fed something. And the same thing can be said even about politics, because I be seeing y'all reading stuff with the big font and don't be verifying it and just take it and run with it as truth when it just be straight up lies and misinformation. Let's just practice that overall. But she did say one thing in particular, or not one thing, but one thing I'm gonna point out today stood out to me, and I want us to sit with it as people who consume entertainment or within the entertainment industry, because this right here was valid. She said, if I were a white woman, my name would be Melissa McCarthy. I need us to sit with that because I believe she's correct. I tried to do my own analyzing of it, and I tried to, you know, think and be like, well, maybe Melissa's, she's an improviser. Monique's a stand-up. Melissa started out on TV sitcoms. Monique started out on TV and sitcoms. Monique was a queen of comedy. Melissa necessarily wasn't that, but, you know, she had her some big moments. Melissa's big moment was in Bridesmaid. Monique's big moment was in Precious. Even though it was drama versus comedy, still big moment. Monique won an Academy Award. Melissa, I don't believe she has one. Monique has solidified herself as a powerhouse in entertainment. So has Melissa McCarthy. But Melissa McCarthy is sitting on that paper. And I'm not sure we can say the same about Monique. Difference can be said about approaches, right? And personality. But for the people who I know who know Melissa McCarthy, they got great relationships with her. And the people that I know who know Monique, they got great relationships with her. So I know Hollywood not going to sit with it, but us as a community could probably sit with that statement. I also, one of my concerns, and this is just throughout this entire discourse that has been happening within this sector of comedy. My concern with people in general, even some of my direct peers, when people are hurt or surprised by the shadiness of Hollywood, I won't say I have trouble understanding it, but it shocks me when other people are shocked by that. Now, when people do you wrong and stuff is crazy, I'll be mad, right? Yeah, I'll be mad, but I'm not shocked. We've been knowing Hollywood has gone Hollywood since we've been hearing stories about Hollywood every which way. We even went through the Me Too movement and saw how Hollywood was Hollywood in that direction. Nothing shady about dealings shock me. So my concern usually lies when some people are personally shocked or hurt beyond a standard level when things happen around them. That's one of the only things as a people with entertainment that I struggle with. Not to say that I'm immune to things, and that I'm not hurt by stuff, because I be hurt. Okay. Stuff really hurts me, but not to the point where I be stunned. Like, how could they do that? You probably ain't gonna never hear that out of me. Not to say that you've heard that out of any of these people, but especially these last two interviews on Club Shay Shay, there has been a theme of the shadiness of Hollywood. And I thought we all knew that there was shadiness in Hollywood. Not to say that you should continue on and that is right, because you do got to call it out, but we're not shocked. But overall, I'm going to keep going on and on if you allow me. Okay. With that said, I'm going to finish watching the full interview. And if anything else pops up worth noting that I should bring back on the next episode, I will do that. But otherwise, y'all let me know your thoughts about it. Hit me up. You can find me on social media at Kenelia. On this week's episode of Black News, we talked about the Super Bowl halftime performance featuring Usher the Raymond, even though his middle name is not the. We also talked about Beyonce dropping new music and a new project, Act 2, that is set to come out on March 29th. And lastly, we discussed the Monique interview on the Club Shay Shay podcast. Hit me up and let me know your thoughts about all of these topics, some or none. And I'll check back with you guys next time. That's it for this week's episode of Black News, y'all. Thanks again for supporting the podcast by sharing, liking, subscribing, and rating 5 stars on your favorite podcast app. To find more information about me, you can check me out at Kenelia on social media, as well as on my website, which is Kenelia.com. And as always, thanks for supporting, and I'll be back next week with new topics and a new episode.